advance that music would be beautiful by those who were to perform. Really do appreciate the effort that has been put in. I would like to just mention something out of interest. My wife traditionally has taken the same view that was presented as to when summer ends and autumn begins, which of course astronomers would not, nor do I, but that has not terminated the marriage, just so you know. In case you wonder why she wasn't seated with me, we have our daughter-in-law and one of the two children, our grandson, who lives out here. We have other grandchildren who we're visiting today. And anyone, of course, in Costa Rica would have, as our daughter-in-law comes from, a different perspective in terms of defining weather. But I thought it would be significant that you do take note that there is generally an astronomical definition that is used throughout history to define the fundamental change of seasons with respect to the position of the sun on the horizon, when we have the beginning of spring and the beginning of autumn. We're dealing with rising and setting due east and west, as we would speak of it. So that's going to be the 23rd. Therefore, I can promise you that we will have upwards of 3 lovely weeks of summer yet, even though further north, indeed, as in Alaska, autumn comes often at late August, early September. But there is a distinction between weather and that aspect which we can define by the position of the heavenly bodies. Some days ago, I received a letter, and since I knew I was scheduled to speak early in September, I thought I would save the letter. It is from a woman whom my wife and I have never met, but whom we have known for some almost 13 years. I should correct that. 23 years, please. Dear sir and madam, this person is from the former British Commonwealth. How to start? Our hearts are filled with sadness. Our silent tears still flow. This is written in prose. We have missed our husband, father-in-law. He is no more in this world. He was admitted at Lautoka Hospital. He had a heart problem. He was very serious. 15 minutes before his death, he reminded me about you, addressing myself and my wife, to write a letter and say he is very sick. Very sorry, sir. I could not do anything. He was dead on Wednesday, 19th July, 1955 at 8:30 p.m. and buried on Thursday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Everything is over. I lost my power. That's all, sir. Thanks again. Yours, same friend, Mrs. the late Gopal Achari. I've spoken numerous times of our longtime Hindu friends. They were very poor when I first met them. Gopal Achari never invited us to his home, whereas his more prosperous Muslim friend did. So we know only the family in an indirect way. But they did open their home to the Swedish friends of whom I had spoken, of one of the members here in Southern California. From them, I received a most beautiful letter of their appreciation of being cared for while on a visit around the Pacific and through the Middle East again back to Sweden. And they came through the United States first. I think it is fitting in a situation like this that I should draw your attention to the fact that some people labor under the impression, however it may have been received, it was hardly adequately supported by the evidence of everybody in the church, that we would have nothing to do with people who were not of our own fellowship. How some let that lodge in their minds, I will let them explain. But I think it important that you consider that many in the Church of God knew otherwise, did otherwise, as Jesus himself, of course, when he had social intercourse with Pharisees, Sadducees, officials of various sorts, and the simple people whom others might have called sinners, like tax collectors. Anyway, I wanted to say that the book now is half closed. And sometime in the future, I should like to meet Mrs. Gopal Achari, as we had the privilege of meeting and being in the home of the Abdulaziz Dean family, who introduced us to them because both of them were in the taxi business in Fiji. And this is an unusual area of the world where attitudes are such that friendships last a lifetime. I can say I'm quite sure it isn't true of everybody who's ridden with Gopal, but we found him, and my wife in particular, found him a person of wonderful attitude, good judgment, character. And I would put the footnote, even though some of you remember, in the 1982 weather crisis that struck much of the central area of the South Pacific. The lumber that the Achari family had set aside for the building of an appropriate home was washed to sea. And they had no way to care for the whole family and offered us their youngest child to rear as our own. Not everybody would do that. We decided that it was much wiser to help the family get back on its feet and to be together. But that, anyway, is a part of a story of life. And I thought that it would be appropriate that I should give a fitting memorial to a man that we shall later see in a resurrection to discuss new things beyond anything we may have discussed before. The subject today that I would like to address is a very simple one. It is this, that you should, as members and friends, children, and the fellowship of the Worldwide Church of God make a practice of reading the worldwide news with care. I would like to tell you of its importance today. There's always more than one reason. There will be, in fact, two fundamental ones that I will address. I have arranged here the magazines in chronological order for recent times, just to highlight and ask you, have you thought about how you may have evaluated the material from issue to issue? Now, I am not an editor of the Worldwide News in any normal capacity unless there is something unusual that the editorial staff passes to me. Indirectly, I am an editor of anything that is derived from the Pastor General's report and material in the reviews you could use accompanying that to the ministry. Otherwise, I am not an editor of the other copy. Necessarily, in suggesting that you read something, we do not assume that you need to read everything all the way through, all the time. Nor do I mean to say you should simply read how it begins and how it ends. But you should evaluate the material in terms of your eyesight and ability to read, the age, the time. And when you do read, you should read with care. Some things may have more meaning than others to you. For instance, I'm starting with the December 13th, 1994 issue. There will only be one that I'm not including, otherwise I'll bring it up to date. There's an article on the role of the German Brethren in helping with some of the problems the Civil War victims in Croatia. I can well understand that it is nice to know about it, nice to know where you could find information on the subject. You may find other things more significant in terms of what else is in this issue and the time you have. But if you had come from there, you might well wish to give serious consideration, so you understand how I approach matters. Then there is the personal, which you should normally read every issue. There are always times where there may not be adequate time, but you should carefully familiarize yourself with the personal from Joseph W. Tkach. Can we be zealous without being exclusive? Now, the reason I went back to last year is that indeed there is a fundamental problem that has existed. There are people who were exclusive in the church. There are people who were exclusive who were no longer in our fellowship. There are people who were exclusive who were no longer exclusive. There are people who were exclusive who are no longer exclusive, who think that those of us who are still in the church and don't think exactly like they do are always exclusive when we never have been. I want to make that plain when I read so many things as if everybody in the past all had the same mindset. If that were the case, we would have had no Hindu, Muslim, Catholic friends. We would have had no Jewish friends. This work would not be where it is around the world. The leadership set an example that many in the church did not listen to, did not follow, for whatever reasons they will have to explain to Christ. Happily, many who were in that category, and I know not the percentage, have learned not to be. Mr. Tkach was aware of this problem. He set about to bring this to the attention of the church. Yes, we can be zealous without being exclusive, without being repulsive. I suggest you might like to reread. You see, sometimes the material you know reasonably well, or is not as significant in the long run as some other material might be. But you have to weigh that for yourself. But I would like to ask you to consider that you ought to retain back issues within a reasonable period of time of the worldwide news, because it is the message directed to the church itself as a fellowship. It is important that we be zealous. That's an essential matter. We do not have to be exclusive, though some, unfortunately, got into that practice. But maybe this is a part of an upbringing, whether it began in the church or whether it did not, because some people may have had similar patterns before, it certainly has affected many who were reared in the church. I did not grow up in the fellowship of the church till after I came to Ambassador College in 1947. And on that basis, sometimes our youth is molded in some way with our own past relationships. I grew up in a community that was anything but exclusive. There may have been no blacks. I knew no one who spoke Spanish, but I did know people who spoke many other languages. Almost everyone in school whom I remember as a close friend was bilingual, in many cases languages I never used: Portuguese, Italian, Russian, Hungarian, Norwegian, and of course German. We grew up in a manner that was cross-cultural. And I hope that what Mr. Tkach began in 1994 in this material on December, that you might like to reread it again. Now, when you go through the material, you may find that some things strike you as more or less significant. The personal, as it goes through, will often have different subheads following the word personal if it is a longer one. In the first part of the personal, for example, the subhead was, or the heading in fact, was, "Can we be zealous without being exclusive?" And that moves to another thought along the way: the Bible is our standard, and then to concentrate on obeying Jesus Christ. Now, there is an interesting article, a rather timeless one, on page 4. Truth or error? How do you decide? It's not possible to go through all this material, which is not my purpose. My purpose is to ask you to rethink. Truth or error? If you were coming over this evening and I were to ask you, how do you decide? Would you have the answer? That is, did you read that material? Did it say something to you? Did you let it say something to you? Mr. Greg Albrecht, as editor of The Plain Truth then, and now with another appointment which I will not mention in terms of the entirety, new responsibility with respect to the treasurer and the fiscal area of the work is passing to the man who was in charge of media, and now Mr. Albrecht has that responsibility. I think that's more appropriate to be defined by a nice piece in the Worldwide News, which will certainly be forthcoming shortly, or an appropriate announcement will be made. It was made internally yesterday to our own departments. But to go back, truth or error, how do you decide? That's the question you should be able to answer at any time. Whether you are with Catholic friends, whether you are with Protestant friends or agnostics, or people of other religious convictions. Then we have in the January issue, January 10, you see there are ordinarily two a month. There is a personal which has to do with the Sabbath. Can you report to yourself that you remember the fundamental highlights that Mr. Tkach raised in that particular issue? If not, you should reread it. Now, if you have no issues, you should ask, why don't you? Or do you have a habit of not retaining them? Now, you may not wish to retain every page, but I find that they're so thin that by the time I would cut up and then try to put in a folder, I wasted enough time. I might as well provide just a bit more space and keep the whole thing. This is not the Los Angeles Times. Then I move along to February, and here I read again, and it's very important to take note of what Mr. Tkach is saying, both in terms of his office as well as in terms of the non-administrative responsibilities to set and to clarify the teaching of the church, because there are many administrative responsibilities, yes, duties every day to give his mind to. It was an interesting one. Who baptized Herbert Armstrong? You all should have at least remembered it was discussed. This was a very carefully worked out article by Ralph Orr. I think you at least should know where it is so that you could, in fact, look for an answer if you needed it. The personal flows with more than one heading after the word personal as we move from page to page. I don't know if you ever recognize that. It's not two personals, the same one, but it moves along. We must keep learning. That's a very important thing. We must keep learning. Now, we come up to February the 21st. And here we are again dealing with the questions that have come up. Not only is there a personal that is given, but now we have one of a series of articles that appeared in the past, accompanying the Pastor General's report, and here appear in relative speed, I guess, from every 2 weeks, as they were able to get it in. I haven't checked, in fact, whether there was any issue skipped before the next one appeared. This one is entitled, it was a study paper, entitled Circumcision, copyrighted 1995 by the Worldwide Church of God. Circumcision, rituals swept aside. Circumcision, law behind the law. All of that, these are the different subheads as you move along. Then an article, no, this is another study paper on tithing in the New Covenant. Then another one titled Unclean. Why did God give these rules? What did the Apostle Paul teach? The personal runs over here with another heading. Probably we would say at this point, the February 21st issue is one of the most significant because it has a personal and it has the study papers on circumcision, tithing, and unclean. Do you know these articles? Do you know why circumcision appeared first? Do you know why circumcision appeared at all when it is not an issue? The answer is that the premises that are laid out on the basis of all the study papers of the recent changes are dependent on the conclusions arrived at in the study paper on circumcision. Most members only know it. They didn't think that this was an important issue. It was not raised in the church today. It might have been raised when there were many Jews in the church. Therefore, you may not know why it appeared or whether every argument in that paper is valid. You see, the worldwide news has spoken for the work for decades, and sometimes things are changed. And you need to go back and ask, did you clearly understand things that were written 25 20, 15, 10 years ago? Did you know why you drew the conclusion? Did you assume that because it was here, it was true eternally? Did you assume that because it was here, it was meant to be a propaganda piece? Whatever your premise is, you need to analyze carefully. We are human beings. We need to think through things, both with respect to authority and logically. And it is important, therefore, that I remind you that what was established in the first paper on circumcision underlies all succeeding papers. If that paper is fundamentally correct in all points, there was no justification whatsoever for any to have departed from the fellowship of our church. There may have been flaws in the paper. It may have been significantly correct, but if there were flaws in the paper, let us say, then we should also be able to examine that with care so that we can examine every other succeeding piece with care. It is nevertheless the official statement. You have no basis for saying you fully understand all the succeeding papers if you never read that one. There are some who never read it and are gone. There are some who never read it and have stayed. There are some who have read it and are gone, and some who have read it and have remained. So I would just like to challenge you to realize that there will never be a time in the church when the church is perfect and without flaw in its explanations. There never will be, as long as human beings are the instruments. Nevertheless, it pays to carefully show respect by reading and asking why we are asked to reconsider even such a topic that was not a topic in the church. Because maybe the flaws are not fundamental. Maybe the flaws are very few. You want to think about that in terms of relationship. Because there are people who sometimes take creative leaps on the basis of the least flaw, which is a tragedy. Then we have the worldwide news of March, the role of headquarters to help members and congregations rise to their potential. There are some very interesting articles with respect to helping other people around the world. We have the need of understanding from church administration, becoming prepared to effectively share the gospel message by Joseph Tacatz Jr. Restructuring to effectively share the gospel. There are some individuals in the local churches who did wonders in terms of open house, and great things were achieved, especially in the Los Angeles congregation. I think there have been a remarkable response in a very, very diverse city. This has also the material, March, on festivals. That was the one that came next, and it has the different subheads as you go through, so you'll want to note the material of February 21, March 7, that means the latter part of February, first part of March. You'll want to consider those carefully, so you have them there. Then we move along. We are now in late March. What is the law of God for Christians today? By a person from Australia. You want to ask the question. Does it answer your questions? Does it bring up questions you had never thought of? What is your conclusion? Truth and error. How do you decide? Remember that one? Then there's always sections on Q&A, which I would suggest are sometimes simply digested, because you can pick up and read a short item. You don't have to read a longer piece. Now we move along to April. This is the 4th of April. Mr. Tacatz, his writing speaks of new covenant leads us to victory, freedom, and salvation in Christ. That is the what I would call a background piece to the present areas of discussion and correction. Then I turn to another page. 5, on the April 4th issue, Youth Magazine is what's referred to. Youth promotions bring in excited new subscribers. Youth wants to share its positive, uplifting message of hope. And then it defines the number to call and a 1-year subscription. March 10, a Youth 95 subscription letter to church members and co-workers was mailed, followed by a renewal letter. Our concern at this point is how we can provide the magazine to needy teens, says the editor, Mr. Bennett. Members can help by providing subscriptions through our outreach program. And there is an ad here that I had referred to. Now, we move along, and I'll be addressing that question in greater depth. There will be in the April 19 issue Mr. Tacatz's observations on Pentecost and the church's commission and God's covenant with his people. Pentecost showing that covenant relationship. That's the basic subject of the personal. Then there is a personal of another kind. Mr. Jeff Zorny writes one with respect to the experience that people go through from loss. You might find that some things of that nature have special meaning if there has been the loss of a loved one recently in a family. Then Mr. Tkach speaks of holy days rekindling individual and collective commitment to Christ in the May 9th issue. That's early May. Then there are comments praising the New Covenant teaching from page 1. And here we are addressing an interesting matter. A significant number of people have been sending in comments through Mr. Ronald Lohr in Tulsa, Oklahoma, not only to headquarters here, but there, for the material that's become called, interestingly, the Good News Grapevine. Then there is a question and answers that appear, so you'll want to analyze whether you can frame a good question such as would be found here to get at an issue, because poorly asked questions often bring poor answers. You need to ask the correct question. Sometimes the wrong kind of question may seem to be an answer, but it isn't an answer at all, because it wasn't addressing where the issue lies. So it is important that you go over this material. I think there will be some fine Q&A there on the question of sin in the May 9th issue. The New Covenant, May 23rd, an agreement with God. Then I move through here, and we are dealing with the question of the law of Moses as another subhead with respect to the personal, the different subheads, the law of Jesus Christ. And then we have a separate article of the what do the scriptures say about the Sabbath? Now that appears in this issue for the first time that is addressed. Sabbath, its importance in the Old Covenant system. Sabbath and our relationship to God. These again are changing subheads at the top of the page, even though it is the same article continuing. And there are a number of questions posed for this material, the result of which now is in print for any of you who are interested. It is the support material for the plain truth pertaining to the question of the Sabbath. And then an article by a member, Paul Kroll, on Hebrews 4:9 and Sabbath keeping. So now we note a number of weeks have gone by, and we are in May 23rd before the study paper and support material on the Sabbath appeared. Then we come to areas on the same general topic. The New Covenant is discussed in terms of the relationship of the patriarchs. That is, what were the principles that were especially significant in that covenant that lead us to note that Abraham had salvation, many of his descendants did not? It would be interesting to analyze the relationship of the covenant at Sinai to the one made with Abraham, the new covenant mentioned in the New Testament as well as the prophets. Now in the June 20th issue, I note an ad, Youth 95 magazine reaching out. How can you help Youth 95 help young people worldwide? Youth 95 wants to share its positive, uplifting message of hope with as many young people as possible, and you can help. By providing a gift subscription for our outreach efforts, you will enable a young person who may not be able to afford it to receive all of the benefits of subscribing to Youth 95, benefits with life-changing potential. Send in the coupon below and request an outreach subscription. You may pay now or we will bill you later. And so we come to a recognition that if we are going to have a youth magazine at all, discussing many social, not merely spiritual topics for youth, we have to make it pay, and the work is in no position to continue this publication without a reconsideration of how it should be in the future. And that has already been decided, and in these issues of the magazine, they are developed. If you don't have a specific person in mind, we'll send it as a gift subscription to a needy youth on our files. So this is the beginning story of the material that you already noted from a little earlier, the importance of noting ads that have appeared, or announcements. It's a kind of advertisement about youth. I'm moving on here because of time. Then we come to another one. This happens to be in the August 1 issue, a month or so ago. So far, more than 65,000 people have ordered subscriptions to Youth 95, and the magazine staff is working to process those requests as quickly as possible. So thousands order gift subscriptions to Youth 95 magazine is the title. And a little ad, blue around it. Yes, I want to help someone who cannot afford to subscribe to Youth 95. When my wife and I were in Costa Rica, we had a gentleman who was, he had a family, but he wanted to have the magazine, and he simply could not afford it because of the postage. That alone adds some $5 during a year's time, and income, even in a country like that, is not always easy to come by. $14.75 is the international subscription, $19.95 within the United States. There is an article that goes along with it. This clearly is something you should know about August 1, because a decision has been finally made. Youth 95 is being set up as a self-supporting magazine to reduce the church's budget. As a separate organization under U.S. tax codes, U.S. 95 subscriptions and subscription donations are not tax deductible because it is set up as a profit corporation. It makes it much easier. There are many profit corporations that do essentially work that nonprofit corporations do, but it enables certain problems to be legally resolved much more simply. Then we have in the next issue Mr. Takacs' personal, responding to the dynamic leadership of Jesus Christ, and the very important matter of Mr. Kelly, with the support of his wife, Norva Kelly, to direct the family ministry. You might like to read that. I, in fact, have always carefully read Mr. Kelly's material on the family, because he grew up where his mother was responsible for the home. His father died when he was essentially young enough not to have a father's experience. And I have been very pleased how he has handled these matters and learned from others who have had the experience of a father in the home as they have grown up. I knew Mrs. Kelly, his mother. She was a very lovely woman. I have not forgotten her, though she has since died is a woman that you could easily remember as to personality and clarity of thinking. Then, oh, this is an unusual ad in the latest issue. This is August 29. Some of you might not have read this. I want a new friend. And here we have Rick Schallenberger's Youth 95 launches Worldwide Pen Pal Club, something that would never have been possible if the church published it as a nonprofit institution. This would have been unlawful. So I would like to suggest in the August 29th issue, Tuesday of this week, that you take a good look at this material on the last page, the very back of it. I want a new friend. Yes, I want to buy a new friend a subscription to Youth 95. And we have here the opportunity for young or old to have pen pals, choice of male or female. I'd like to write to someone from. And then you have areas such as Europe, Asia, Australia, the Pacific Isles, Caribbean, Africa, Latin America. I suggest you carefully read that material, because it is significant that we have taken a major new step. No, I have not invested in Youth Magazine on the stock market. Just so you know, this was not paid for. But I do want you to take seriously what we have. In the Pastor General's report of March 1, there was some very good information. Mr. Joseph DeCotch, Joseph W. DeCotch, wrote to all pastors to Youth 91 with a specific address, a special offer to parents and other adults concerning teen values. Save one-third off the cover price, etc., etc. It's going to have a cover price because it's available on the newsstands ultimately. And I would like to point up that Mr. Lipros, who is fundamentally responsible for this now, mentions that if you say bill me later or charge it, it costs much more to the institution publishing Youth Magazine than it would if you simply put a check and the card in an envelope and mailed it all at once for 32 cents. I would like to suggest that you give consideration. In fact, very often it's a token of appreciation to charitable institutions to put a stamp on when they have solicited help and you choose to respond by mail. This happens to be the new issue out, the September-October. I don't know if how many of you have seen it. All right, we have a few who are involved. I happen to have been especially selected. Why? Because I'm speaking today. Mr. Lipros came to my office and he said, you should have a copy. So I would like to suggest all of you who have grandchildren or great-grandchildren or brothers or sisters or children or are teenagers yourself, we would like you to give serious consideration to the publication. Are you an insensitive jerk? Well, that's a question. Knowing Carrie Dowd, who wrote it, I would like to read it. I respect her evaluation. There are serious social problems, and then there are ads also. I would like to address the one page. There's another ad here, as well as the beginning of another section. And we are, in fact, able to accomplish part of what we're doing as a result of having advertisements in here appropriate for the institution. The institution is the magazine. And it's what we would expect that children could profit by and young people. My wife and I have assisted that at least one person, I think I will go further, internationally, and I believe that we can have barriers broken down among some who have left us and are no longer in our spiritual fellowship to have access. If you have friends there, follow Mr. Takacha's advice to show yourself an appropriate friend and offer a subscription. You might want to know whether indeed they already have one. Mr. Lipros wrote a note, "At last I can send you our first real issue under the new copyright and ownership. Many, many thanks for your encouragements and help, which has helped to keep Youth 95 alive." Now, many others have done more work. I've at least tried to be encouraging because I think this is a way of solving a problem that we have financially and a way of going beyond the normal relationship to our mailing list by having, in fact, a cover price and a magazine on the newsstand that selected newsstands ultimately that can be accessible to people who otherwise don't know us and can learn about the spiritual work that ultimately underlies the thinking of the editorial staff of Youth 95. And all of that, of course, was laid out for you in the worldwide news from April through August in a letter from Mr. Takacs and in editorial comments. So I hope that you will take note of the importance of reading the worldwide news with care.